Our life hacks topic of today is really looking to the ins and outs of car insurance and alerting you to some of the things you need to be asking about and thinking about before you sign on the dotted line to buy the car. With us via Zoom is John Vessels, who is a short-term insurance actuary and a member of the Actuarial Society of South Africa. John, really appreciate your time this afternoon. Welcome.
Great. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
Thank you. A lot of people treat insurance as a sort of an afterthought. They get so obsessed with the decision around the car purchase process, they'll do massive research for that and think about everything from the fabric on the seats to the ribs and anything else about the car, and then scramble to suddenly organize insurance in a hurry afterwards, almost like an afterthought if they think about it at all. John, in fact, before we talk about making informed choices for the insurance, let's talk about the fact that for a lot of people, the choice is not to take out insurance at all. And it's a very risky choice, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. That is a very risky choice. And unfortunately, from the latest numbers, we have about 65% of drivers on the road aren't insured. And for a lot of people, that means they're not protected against, you know, very big financial risks. For a lot of people, if it's not your house that's your most expensive possession, it might be your car.
Yeah.
And if something happens to your car, then, you know, do you have to fork out of pocket to repair it or replace it if you write it off? And if you happen to crash into someone else, you might be liable for those damages as well. So insurance is really a key part of your financial well-being that you really want to have in place in case something does go wrong.
It's that somebody else's car that's the big consideration for many of us, Johan. My car, by comparison, is a relatively small battery to replace because it's a small and old car. But the thought that I might have accidentally crashed it into a very expensive Lamborghini or something like that is what makes sure I pay my insurance premiums every month. Now, you argue that buyers should really start shopping around for insurance even before they've chosen the car they're going to buy. Do you want to explain why you think it should be done that way around?
Yes, and this really comes from, you know, as the Actuarial Society, we really want to educate consumers. And one thing we've noticed is that a lot of people, the first time they think about car insurance is when they're on the dealership floor and the dealer informs them that they need car insurance before they can take the car.
Yeah.
And at that point, they've already signed the finance contract and, you know, done everything, the decision is made, and they might get a nasty surprise about the insurance. So what I really want to encourage people to do is to start thinking about car insurance in the process of buying the car. So when you're thinking about your budget, think about what the insurance is going to cost. You can even get quotes to compare for different vehicles. And then you can make sure that it's within your budget. Because say, for example, you get a car that you think you can afford. It's on the, you know, the edge of your limit that you want to pay for car finance. And then you get a high insurance premium. It might put a hole in your budget.
Yeah.
Or even if it doesn't, maybe a bit more established, but it might then take away from some of your other goals. Maybe you take it out of your retirement savings or something like that.
So, John, I mean, the case to be made that consider the insurance implications before you sign on the dotted line for the car itself, and be also mindful of where that will put your spending, what sort of bracket that'll put your spending into. You know, is there a case to be made to say perhaps in some cases consider buying one model down or a car a year or two older than the one you were looking at, because the difference in the price you'll pay on the car could be the difference that allows you to buy a decent insurance policy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for a lot of people, especially young people, but not only young people, they will kind of buy at the edge of their limit. Mm. And then putting insurance on top of that makes it even worse. So when you're looking for a car, maybe you're thinking of buying, you know, it's a fancy, maybe you're looking at, say, a R500,000 car. And then when you find out the insurance premium, think, okay, if there's an interest rate hike, it's going to put me under a lot of pressure. So let me rather go one model down, then, you know, I can drive off the lot, I'll have a smile on my face, not paying too much for the car and insurance, and have some extra cash in the bank for car maintenance as well. So I think just overall, it will make you less stressed if you do it that way.
John, let's talk about the factors that influence how much you're going to pay in car insurance. Obviously, the kind of car that you're buying and how expensive that car is to fix or replace is going to be one factor, but it's by no means the only factor.
Yeah, absolutely. So of course, you know, in the discussion now, the make and model is the one we're thinking of a lot because that's very much in your control. There's lots of other factors as well. So your age and your driving history, you know, if you've had many losses in the past, you're probably going to pay a high insurance premium. One that people might not think of is your credit profile. And that just talks to being responsible with your money, making payments on time and so on. Mm-hmm. And what we found is that people who are responsible with their money tend to be more responsible with their assets as well. Also, the location you park your vehicle in, if it's used for private use or business use, and you should make sure that it's insured correctly. And then also what cover you have. So you might have a high excess or a low excess. And if you want add-ons like car hire and things like that, you'll have to pay a bit more as well.
Very important one, what you mentioned there, private use versus business use. And I think a lot of people make the mistake of assuming I just need to tell them it's for private use because I don't really do that much mileage other than to and from work. Do you want to just tell us how an insurance insurer would view something being used for business use versus for private use? What are some of the sort of red flags you need to be aware of there?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And there's no standard definition across the industry. So you'll find some companies who will have a professional use as well. And that will relate to maybe a real estate agent driving between clients. That is not quite business use, where business use is more, say you're a tradesperson and you use that car as your business vehicle.
Right.
So driving to and from work is usually qualified as private use, but it's definitely a good idea to confirm that with your insurance company. And then they might have different definitions for personal use, professional use, and business use. And then other things, you know, if you use the vehicle as an Uber, for example, or a delivery vehicle, that's probably going to have to be specified separately as well, because the risk there is very different.
Okay, thank you. Just for anybody who's come in midway to the conversation, we're chatting to John Vessels, who is a short-term insurance actuary, a member of the Actuarial Society of South Africa, talking about the ins and outs of car insurance. John, one of our listeners asking on the WhatsApp line whether insurance rates differ for men and women. I know there has been the suggestion that women get charged less than men because they're less likely to have accidents. Is that urban legend or is that the truth?
No, that is definitely the case, especially for young men tend to have the highest insurance premiums. And in the actuarial world, we actually refer to the accident hump, where men between, say, the age of 18 and 23 tends to get into a lot more accidents. So yes, young men pay more than young women. And then as time goes on, the two tend to get closer. But it's hard to say for every insurer. Every insurer will have different models. But yeah, that's mostly true, I would say.
Okay. And a question I'd like to ask, is the appeal of a particular brand at a given time to thieves likely to influence your rates? I ask that because our cars man has frequently commented that polos in particular are known to be highly sought after by hijackers and thieves in South Africa. Would that mean that somebody who's buying a polo can expect to pay a little bit more on their insurance premium?
Yeah, definitely. And there's a few vehicles, I won't mention all of them, but there are a few vehicles, that being one of them, where the theft risk is higher. And that's why you'll find a lot of insurance companies who will even require tracking devices for those, because the risk is higher. And the point then is that if you have a tracking device, then your premium can be lower. But without a tracking device, you might find that the insurance for some vehicles is just not affordable at all. So unfortunately, yes, that's something you have to consider, that some very popular vehicles have a high theft risk and you will need to pay a higher premium as a result.
Okay. You mentioned that the owner's credit profile can influence how much you're charged as an insurance premium. The flip side of that conversation, John, is that if you do overextend yourself and make the mistake of buying a car that's at the upper end of your budget and then adding insurance and then boom, there are a couple of interest rate hikes and suddenly you can't keep up with your payments and the car is repossessed, that in turn is likely to have a very detrimental effect on your credit record going forward, isn't it?
Yeah, for a long time. If you have a vehicle repossession or a default or something like that, it will count against your name for quite a while. And not only will it make it very difficult to get car financing again, or any other kind of financing for that matter, it can even affect your insurance premium. So it's definitely something you want to avoid at all costs. And that's why we hope people will take into account the cost of insurance before they buy a car.
Yeah. Our listener James in Simonstown making the comment, a car insurance broker is a must in his opinion if you want to avoid mistakes and have the best possible advice in an accident case. Do you agree with him? Do you think everybody should make use of a broker?
You know what, there's a lot of debate in the industry. And full disclosure, I work for a direct insurance company, so I wouldn't encourage that. But I will say that, especially if you have very complicated insurance needs, or if you really just want someone who understands insurance very well, I would say get a broker. Mm-hmm. Especially if you have your own business or something like that, and your insurance needs are a little bit more complicated than the average person, I would say a broker is a good idea. If you're the average person on the streets, there are regulations in place on, you know, disclosures and things that need to happen at sales stage. So insurers should be informing you of all of the important things at sales stage. And it's also not a bad idea to read your policy wording and go through it and make sure that you're covered for what you need to be covered for and ask questions if you're unsure.
Yeah. What would you say are the most essential questions to ask, especially for somebody who's new to this, James? As you've said, the young buyers are at particular risk because not only do they face the premium loading, they've never done this before. They've perhaps not had the experience to know what they should be looking out for. Are there any pointers you'd like to share about the big questions you must ask of your insurer?
Yes, definitely. And I think the first thing you want to make sure, especially if your car is financed, because it's a requirement, is that you have comprehensive cover. You don't want to have less than comprehensive cover, unless it's, say, a very old vehicle or something. And then you want to see that the cover is what you need. So for most people, they want to insure their vehicle at retail value. You also want to check what is the excess and does it meet your needs? You don't want to save money by having a ridiculously high excess that in the event of an accident, you actually can't afford. And you want to check that you covered correctly. So if you're only going to use it for personal use, you want to make sure you're covered for that. But if there is some professional use, you're going to want to talk to your insurer about that. And other than that, you just want to make sure that you're honest with your insurance company when they ask the underwriting questions. I think a lot of people, maybe in the short term, would save some money, but unfortunately, later on, it's not worth it.
And I'm just going to end with a reminder of what our consumer journalist Wendy Nola told our listeners yesterday. If you have car insurance, make sure you've got your insurer's phone number saved to your phone so that if you are in the unfortunate position of having an accident, you've got their number on dial, particularly with regard to being able to reach them and ask which tow truck service you can use. Wendy was warning us yesterday of some of the scams that the tow truck operators, the unscrupulous ones, will use to get their hands on your vehicle. John, I'm sure you would echo that sentiment that it really is worth saving those details up front before anything happens so that you don't have to look for them or get taken in while you respond in a panic.
Yes, absolutely. And some insurance companies now in their apps will have something built in of what you should do in the event of an accident. If there's a third party involved, it's a good idea to get their details, take a picture of their license and so on, just to make anything that comes after that a bit easier. One thing before we go that I do want to mention is that it makes me sad that people say insurers don't like paying claims. And the point I want to make is that this is the product we offer. If we didn't pay any claims, we wouldn't be offering any value. So we're more than happy to pay valid claims. The problem is if we paid all dishonest claims, we'd have to charge everyone more.
Yeah.
So I hope if people do take something else away, it's that we really do care about our customers as an industry.
John Vessels, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Great to have you on the show. John, a short-term insurance actuary and a member of the Actuarial Society of South Africa. Thank you for your time.